Okay, ready, dudes? Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm your main man, Siege.
And today we have two returning guests. We have John Koppel.
Hey, hey.
And Mark Riccadonna.
Woo!
Thank you, guys. I feel like I always make the intros awkward. I feel like I have to come up with a thing where I'm like, ow, like I do a bark or like woof. Like if someone
well,
says
you
cable.
Need, you need one of those 80s soundboards that are like, wow, wow.
We should try to do that. I feel like you could have fun if we had some sound.
No, no, don't give me more jobs.
Okay.
I like a bare bones podcast.
Well, you guys,
I feel like whenever I'm recording live with you guys, Siege is like, he's like a dog that doesn't want, or like an infant who you're trying to feed. He gets his mouth as far away from the microphone as possible. And then like you're fighting with him, trying to get him back. So I don't know why you're trying to give him more jobs. His only job is to speak into the microphone and he refuses to do that.
There's one job and I can't do it already. Jesus.
All right. Well,
like, what's real quick, Kate? Like, what would you say your theme is? Because I think the theme of the show should be like Bad Morning Show and call it like CJ and the Wolf. And, like, do like overproduced sound effects and the overproduced intros. Like, you're listening to CJ and the Wolf.
I would love to have something like that. Yeah.
It's a good theme, especially when there's like four people on like there are now and everyone's going to talk over each other. It's very morning showish.
Yeah.
I feel like it's Wayne's World when they had a guest on, you know?
You should have somebody on and every time you point to them, they have a slide whistle.
I'm into all of this.
Yeah,
by the way.
Once we have a bigger budget, we'll put all of that into effect.
As long as it's not my responsibility, I want all of the bells and whistles.
Yeah. Pretty soon you guys are going to be making slide whistle money. It's really quick.
I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to feel real good. I can get used to this kind of shit.
Okay.
I feel like every time we're on, our job really hard. Like, that's what we do. Like, we hop in, we're like, she gave an intro, and now we're going to just talk for 5 minutes about something else.
That's what the show is. That's what the show is. You just named it right there.
It depends on the guests. I feel like you guys take over. You know, you got big dude energy, and sometimes I have to be like,
I think
wait,
they call it big dick on. Energy now.
Big dick.
Yeah.
They call it that, you guys?
I don't think it's not big dude energy. But yeah, it's big dick energy. And
thanks.
And yeah, it can be hard. To, you know, wrangle it all in. That now that sounds gross, but like
wrangle all that big dick energy right in.
Can I get to the first topic, please? I wrote them down on a list finally instead of on my phones because my phone would always then go, you know, dark.
Can we start with mine real quick?
This was yours,
guys. As I get older, my balls are growing exponentially bigger than my shaft.
That's so.
Is that happening to everyone?
That's
older?
So gross and not true. And I don't even know like what makes you think to. Everyone's going to think you have this weird, distorted penis, and that I'm the woman who's okay with that. And I'm just I wouldn't be.
This penis isn't that weird looking. Dude, you should like, you know, look into WebMD or something to see.
Like, listen, all I mean is that. I feel like my shaft used to be a lot bigger than my balls, and now my balls is bigger than my shaft by a small margin, but still.
You went from lemons to grapefruit.
I mean, you're being very generous. The first time,
I'm sorry. Let's.
I really
guys, relax,
like,
guys.
Quote, nothing's that gross down on a topic, and you had to like right away.
We'll cut it.
We're great
at editing. I'm sorry.
Like,
is this a we're going to come back to it.
We'll move work. On, but I want to ask, are you guys both sitting on his nutsack?
Like, that is the grossest topic ever. And like, to start it with, like, is your guys' ball sack getting bigger than your shaft? And, like, now I'm going
to
be...
I said exponentially. I tried to make it scientific, but you're all, like, tearing it down now.
I did not want that as
I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing. We can move on.
We're going to move on.
I would say my balls are prominent these days. I'm packing a lot of balls.
They used it's to be the background
anymore. It's not just
right.
They're headlining at this point.
See what I'm saying? And how can you do that when you're in the back?
Yeah,
it's like working? Saturday night. You show up to the club and they're switching the feature and the headliner.
Yeah, dude, my cock had a chance. It headlined Friday night, and on Saturday night, it's like this is awkward, but you know the balls are going to be doing 45 minutes tonight.
Everyone's here for the balls.
It doesn't make sense to me, but every time I go into the bathroom, I'm like, this is what's happening now. Like, it doesn't matter if I can make sense of it or not.
It's true. You know, it's really...
We're just making your world really tough.
I'm getting to the topic that was supposed to be the first topic. Cool or not cool? Irish exits.
I'm a huge fan of them.
Me too.
Huge fan of the Irish exit. My only problem is I'm Italian, and I have the Italian exit, where it's like, cue the music, bring out the exit snacks. Everybody, we need to hug, kiss on each cheek. I'm never going to see you again. Oh, my God. What if this is the last time we hang out? And then if I was an Italian comic, I would say, but Grandma, I live in the basement. Oh. But it's seriously, like, Italian people can't just say, all right, I'll see you guys later. Like, I go to my in-law's house, my mother-in-law, when it's time to leave, you have to give about a 45-minute warning that it's like, all right, we got to go. Let's go, guys. And you know you have 45 minutes till you get to the car.
Irish exit was invented. Like, once you realize that, you're like, nobody's playing by the rules anymore. I gotta get the fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? You duck out a basement window or something. Like, so I get why it exists. I've done it a million times. I don't like it.
I love the Irish exit. It's hard to execute. Like, it depends on how formal the situation is. Because if you're just out drinking with people, like, fuck it. That's it. We're gone. Like, I have to tell the wife, like, we don't need to say goodbye to anyone. It's fine. But then if it's like a wedding or something, then you could try it. It's like, well, we only need to say goodbye to these two couples. But then people spot you saying goodbye, and then it's like it turns into goodbye time.
I need to interject. We actually took the tailwind of your Irish goodbye at a wedding recently. We were going to do our own, and we were still strategizing. And then we saw you and Meg rocking out the elevator. And then we said, just swooped in behind you because you paved the way for us. And like, we really appreciate that you did all the work.
You know,
we never got to thank you for that.
Yeah. We rode the coattails of your Irish goodbye, and we appreciate it.
I appreciate you saying that.
Because actually thought that you and her were much better people than us. And that maybe like you were catching us doing it. And then it was like, no, we caught you doing it. And then you guys didn't give a shit. You're like, we don't give a shit. We got places to do. We got kids. We don't give a shit. And so that was really refreshing. Like, we were no longer in the spotlight. You were defending yourselves against the heat. You know, that you thought maybe we were onto you.
And then
we bonded.
Yeah, if the occasion is with my people, Megan will drop 8 I don't give a shit.
like the Jewish people?
Couples friends? Nah, we're gone. Like, that's, she'll bounce and she don't care at all.
I'm in total awe of the four of you as two couples. I think Angie's the same way, where it's like, there must be like a look on my face when I'm ready to leave, that all of a sudden the congregation line lines up. Like, I can never just leave. I've tried the Irish exit and people were like, hey, you're just going to leave? And I'm like, oh, no, going to the bathroom. I'll be right back, guys. Right back. Then I come back and then it's like, all right, I better have a couple more drinks so they didn't think I was leaving. And next thing you know, it's 4 a.m. I'm the last one there. Everyone else left. And I was the one trying to contemplate for the past like 2 hours. How the fuck do I get out of here?
Look, the way to do it, it's a strategy you have to use the whole party, which is I constantly go to the bathroom, or excuse me, I got to go grab a snack. I'm constantly going to somewhere else. And then I just go to the bathroom and then I'm never seen again. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to set up that you leave abruptly, but you come back. And then the last one is you don't come back. And they're just, they can't do anything about it. You're fucking gone.
Yeah. Oh, I thought I said bye.
You don't hear it until the next like few days or something. You're like, what are you talking about, no. Dude?
But I have a question. Are you good at small talk? Like, are you good at like floating around a party and talking to people?
He is.
The little stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I'm not. Definitely. I'm a floater.
I'm the worst.
Yeah, I'm not. It gets real weird and serious and odd or oversharing or something. I just, you know.
I feel like you're the opposite. I feel like you, at a party, you want to keep it light. And if somebody locks in on you and wants to have a substantial conversation, you get very upset. Like, Kate has walked up to me at parties like, this bitch is trying to, like, talk to me about life. And I'm like, that's kind of nice, isn't it? And Kate's like, no, it's not, actually.
You're right. I don't like it to happen to me, okay? So, like, when someone wants to lock in and I'm trying to have a lighter time, because it's hard for me to have a lighter time. Like, I'm always thinking about the most serious shit. So if I'm out with Siege and I want to have like a chill time and someone wants to lock in and make it like a one-on-one, and I've got like some of my funniest high school dude friends around cracking the funniest jokes, I don't want to be locked in. I want to be laughing at the ridiculous shit y'all have been saying since high school. You know what I mean? So like, it's almost like when we got cock blocked by, I'm not going to say the name, by someone in eighth grade.
Spanish class had like a fiesta or something, and no one told us what the fuck happened. Laura, we're the only two who show up to Spanish class plus one other, and Kate's showing me titties like from around the corner and stuff like that. And I'm like, and then the one girl's like, what are we gonna do, guys?
She didn't see.
She was doing it when her head was turned. Showing the titties.
And no one really knew except Koppel that I was ever even doing anything with CG. But like, she was just totally trying to have a bonding experience. Shit, and I was wanting something else. So I feel like at parties, I don't know. I just know at one party we were all at, it was like the whole table was having like so much fun. So if someone then tries to lock me in and take me out of that group fun, I'm like pissed. I'm like, I don't. Especially if it's like political or something like serious, like everyone's going like in on a fun joke. And then someone's like, do you want to talk about Hamas right now? I'm like, no, like I want to be
with this. Well, usually when I come up to Kate and she's locked into a conversation, she just unloaded everything on me. She just unloaded the whole life, all the traumas. It all came out. And she just looks like up at me like, I don't know what just happened. Like, she don't know what else to do because she was locked in. And it's her only move. It's like to unload it all.
Well, look, I had a rough year teaching in Philadelphia. Rough, okay? So, like, when we'd go out, especially around then, and someone's like, how are things? I'd be like, I'm barely alive, I'm barely here, you know, like I God, I was just breaking down.
Or should I read the novel? Because I
can... Exactly.
Yeah, but that's, I'm trying to be peppier.
Is that you're a person, and like me, that it's like, if you ask like, oh, crazy weather, like I don't give a shit about the weather. Like, I don't care. I'm not going to talk about like, oh, yeah, it was chilly this morning.
No, I like it now that it's apocalyptic. I'll talk about the weather if it's like a tsunami, a cyclone, yeah. You know, then I'm like, what the fuck's happening? And I'm like, called it. You know what I mean? So like that kind of weather I'll talk about. But like, I actually like the weather. I mean, maybe that's because my life got real sad and like bare bones. But now I'm like, the sun. It's shining upon me. Hope is real. Question.
We went into a weather conversation and you turned it into a deep emotional dive.
Definitely.
I'm connected to the weather. Okay.
The best thing to talk about, I think, is like, hey, what's fucked up about this party? Like, what's fucked up about the people here? You know what I mean? If you jump into that, I think usually you get people bite right away. And then it gets lively and they all put in what's fucked up about, because everybody's pretty uncomfortable usually to start. I mean, yeah. Especially as grown-ups.
So, Siege, you're like the cattiest bitch at the party. You're just there to talk shit about like the people that aren't in that conversation. Like, you see, did you see what John is wearing? Oh my God. Is that what you're pulling on me?
I mean, totally.
That's dope.
It's stuff like that. And then talk about, like, you know, what bullshit somebody pulled at the last one.
I feel like we talk about, like, who the hottest people are, or like the best outfits. Maybe because I'm the one doing that.
You guys talk about me all the time.
I'll be on Boo Patrol, to be honest.
She's like, yo, there are some titties at this point.
You should have a Tesla t-shirt. It's incredible. That shit is vintage.
Yo, Kate's always more comfortable if there's some titties at the party. She's like, you know what, Siege? I'm glad you brought me, because there are some titties out here. And that makes me feel a lot more comfortable. And I'm like, me too, darling.
This is my kind of party.
I feel like there's less judgment. Like, if people are okay with some good cleavage and it's not offensive, because it should never be offensive, like, I feel good, you know? And CG has really supported me.
I support her a lot.
And showing my figure more, because when we met, I was dressing a bit like Blossom. So, you know, I feel more comfortable when there's some other, you know, people kind of, it doesn't have to be showing their body, but just like feeling good about themselves and their fashion, you know, and their uniqueness.
Yeah. You could say Siege is like a bro bra.
Yeah, you could say
he
that.
He supports the outflow of cleavage.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He's good at that. Yeah, I feel like when I'm at a party and Siege is there, there will be at least a 20-minute section where he and I get a little bit out of control. And then that's the part where afterwards, the next day, I'm like, was that a little bit much? And right around the time I start to have that thought, I'll get a text from Siege and be like, yo, we was killing it last night. I'm like, yeah, all right, it was cool.
I love it.
Because we'll just monopolizing a conversation and start just like yelling over each other and turn into like a comedy routine. And then like, was that, it was a lot, wasn't it? Like, nah,
no, just... you guys are so entertaining when you get in that flow at parties. It's yeah. And if someone tries to, in that moment, lock me in to talk about what I think of the upcoming election, I'm pissed.
She's like, hey, it doesn't look like you're locked into a conversation just yet.
I'm not a fan of this, but do you guys, I feel like Siege might do it to be funny and then like walk away. But did you ever get the guy who, or gal, who initiates a very heated conversation and then just fucks off? Like, comes over and wants to talk about like, so what do you guys think about this insurrection? And then as soon as you leave, you start telling them what you think. They're like, oh. And then they walk away. And now you're in a conversation with like five people talking about, you know, whatever the topic is. And you're like, and he just left. He's over there eating snacks and taking the beer. And I'm stuck here in this conversation.
That sounds like hell.
I feel like I inspired this. Because I did this over text to you guys yesterday. Yesterday, we were having a lively text thread, all of us, and like we're just throwing around jokes. And then I said something like, ah, my wife's watching like an insurrect, because yesterday was January 6th. Like, she's watching this insurrect. That's how she's relaxing. That's bizarre. And then I got on the treadmill and started running. And you guys are like trying to make it funny because it was a good conversation. I'm like, oh, I just threw that bomb out there. And I'm like, and I'm out. And like, I even felt like, oh.
Well, I respect that because it was funny. And we're all aware it was going to be funny. These are people that do it and are serious. But then they leave right away.
Yeah. I don't know these people. That sounds like a horrible move.
I'm not friends with those people.
You're lucky.
I'm going to zag. I kind of like that person.
Let's talk about the Trump stuff, because it was actually a topic, and it looks like he's going to probably be able to run, right? If I'm seeing the headlines correctly, it looks like it's kind of going in his favor that he will probably be able to run again, because it's up to the Supreme Court. And this, a lot of the Supreme Court are people he elected, because so I feel like they're going to say he can, because it's a pretty Republican Supreme Court.
But they're also lifers, so like I don't think like any, they don't owe anybody favors. You know what I mean? Like the Supreme Court, I think, is the one branch in our system that actually don't, there's no favors, because they can just change their mind. And if somebody says, hey, but they're like, we don't care. Like they just are supposed to only worry about the Constitution.
That would be awesome to be in it. Well, no, nah, yeah. I wouldn't want to be in it. That's like, I feel like you could get death threats. Powerful.
They're probably, oh, they definitely do.
Yeah.
I think they're more powerful than any other branch.
Especially right now, the whole legislative branch is totally gridlocked. So the Supreme Court, the judicial branch, basically like making the laws for us these days. I don't have that much faith in this Supreme Court. You know, are we going to try to parse out the meanings of like the 14th Amendment right now? But I think that I think he'll be able to run. I think it's strange. I mean, I'm not like a lawyer or anything, but as far as like legal jargon goes, if you read the 14th Amendment, you're like, oh shit, this guy can't run. But like he'll run, it'll be fine. Like they'll let him run. He's gonna win.
Loophole City.
Yeah, like he's gonna be president again. It'll be fucking wild.
Now I think if I was on the Supreme Court and like you're good for life, you're good for life, right? You can't really make any mistakes. I feel like I'd just be making decisions on like my mood that second. You know what I mean? Like exactly when the gavel goes down, I'm like, all right, you know, fine. But I just like my life would be so good. Like I'd just be riding horses on golf courses and just like whatever I want. You know what I mean? Like once you're in for life, who's, I don't understand. They seem so uptight still. Why are you still so uptight? You can make whatever decision you want. Like the newspaper might say you made a bad choice, but like they can't fire you. You know, like I'd be chilling.
Yeah.
I have a hard time getting mean, like on YouTube, somebody will write something mean and it bothers me. I don't know if I could take the heat of a politician or a Supreme Court judge. But like they went to Nancy Pelosi's house with a hammer and hit her husband with a fucking hammer. Like, that's a little extreme. I don't like YouTube comments. I don't think I'd like a hammer.
I feel like you have to make sure, though, like, your house is, like, Home Alone. You know what I mean? Like, if you're in that position, you have to have some serious booby traps and, like, some really rub it in if somebody tries to break in. Like, really just rub it in their face. Like, you can't break in here. It's a Home Alone house. Like, what are you talking about? You know, like, I would have everything figured out. I have a guy who does that. I'd have probably the people who worked on Home Alone do it. You know what I mean? Because they know most of it. And so, you know what I'm saying? So you got to make sure you have backup in that position.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I feel like when you're in your 80s, it's got to be hard to remember your booby traps, though.
When you try to step out on the zip line, like you might, you know, you're like, oh shit, I put this in a while back. Oh shit, this is zip line? That's how I get out of the fucking room with the tarantula? you do got to like, you do got to be careful.
Yeah. Mark, to your point, I feel like sometimes you get on like a community page or something on Facebook and people are talking about, you know, the new bus schedule, and next thing you know, two neighbors are just saying the cruelest things about each other. It's like, dude, you guys both know where each other live. You gotta take it easy. Like,
I have to be at work by 8 o'clock, so I don't think a later bus schedule. Oh yeah, well you're fat.
What? And your kids are fat.
Kids are ugly. I don't even think they're yours. What just happened? All I did is say that I work late.
There's some anger out there. There's some angry trolls, you know? And they like to hide. And a lot of their usernames are like you totally anonymous. The pictures is like a pet or just something random, but they'll say the craziest shit.
It's an election year. Is it going to get really bad? Like, do we think that this is going to, because 2020, obviously, I think a lot of it was the fact that people were locked up. So then I think that dehumanizes other people because they don't think of other people anymore. So it's just kind of online. And is it going to be as bad as it was in 2020? Because that was insane.
I think it's going to be worse. Because the angry people are more angry. There's less of them, but they're more angry. Like, it's, I just watched, did you guys see that documentary on HBO, The Insurrectionist Next Door?
Yes.
Nancy Pelosi's daughter did it. And she confronted these people and talking, and they were, some of them are very sweet people. And you realize, like, they just got caught up in something kind of crazy and whatever. There's a couple of them that are like, they're playing the video and these people are calling her mom the C word and saying like all this stuff. And she's playing the video and she's like, do you even know my mom? And the one girl was like, oh, I looked her up. She's like a little lady, like a little old lady. I can't believe we were saying that. It's like, these people were breaking in and doing shit, and a lot of them are claiming they didn't even know what was going on. It was like they were caught up in the moment, and it was like, and you watch it and you realize, but then there's like the guys, the one dude had a tattoo that said Proud Boys across his forehead, and he was trying to, like, when she was like playing his music video, and the music video was called like Fuck Biden or whatever, and they have all these like, you know, let's line them up and knock them down like dominoes. And she's like, what does that mean? He's like, it's just a metaphor for, and it's like, no, it's obviously.
Like, that guy was great because before they started playing his music, he's like, I don't hate those people. I don't hate anybody. And then the song's just like, we're going to fuck these people up.
I think this guy's a liar.
Yeah,
but the thing was, is that actual guy I actually had sympathy for because he sounded like Mike Vecchione, and I like Mike Vecchione.
yeah, he's all right. I think all these,
but I think it's going to get worse. Like, I think it's going to get worse. These people, like,
and it's going to get crazier because if the Epstein stuff eventually really does come out, because there's video footage and pictures, because they put out a list, but you don't know who just visited the island and really didn't know versus who was visiting the island and participating in sex trafficking. But I think there is evidence that if these people didn't have incredible amounts of money, would already be out. Like, if a regular person sex traffics, all their info's out immediately. If you have a lot of money, it takes a while. But I think as more information comes out, it's going to fire the election up, because who knows, you know what I mean? Like, as we find out what candidates were really involved, that's going
to. Yeah. And I mean, the problem is the guy's a billionaire and he's donating money to people's things. So when he throws a party, you show up because he's essentially a producer of your political campaign. So when he throws a party, you show up because you want him to throw some money your way. And
if there's some sexy young people there, you're like, there's some sexy young people here. I don't know. Hey, I don't know where they came from. I don't know if they got trafficked or if they just sexy young people hang out here. Who knows?
I mean,
that's what I would, you know, I wouldn't ask.
Well, I would be very alarmed. I'd be like, why young is this people girl suspiciously so young?
Sexy?
And why does she look so scared? I would definitely be very alarmed. But did you see that Stephen Hawking? Hold on. Stephen Hawking visited the island, and I've been seeing so many funny TikToks about it. Just because, you know, but who knows even if he was there for that either. But
we only talk about things that we don't know anything about.
Well, that's the genius of what we do, because it's basically like we're politicians.
There you go.
Guys, you remember during the insurrection, because I think we were texting a lot during it, but my favorite thing that happened during the insurrection, obviously you had the insane, terrifying people that were really there to do damage. And, you know, those people I hope are all locked up. But what I liked was that there were couples that were also walking into the Capitol building, walking around, that were like holding hands and stuff. It was very sweet. They were like, honey, this is real. We get to see the Capitol. This is really nice.
You know what? I'm so glad, because it's usually like a $30 admission fee, but it looks like we're getting in.
I mean, you usually have to know somebody. It's like months in advance, but this is...
But these guys just kick the windows in. Now I just get to see this beautiful place together.
I love that the people that were like, we didn't know it was illegal. We went through this side door while a guy was crawling through a window. They were scaling the wall like it was a SWAT team meeting. No idea. I just thought, you know, they let us through. Yeah, because there was 10 security guards and 5,000 people chanting, kill him, hang Mike Pence. Like,
that's the day Trump got his Twitter account taken away.
He was
not allowed on Twitter.
That's a celebration of its own. Because whether... I mean, even my friends that like Trump, like a lot, like they really like him, they're like, yeah, he's kind of an idiot when he was on Twitter.
He was doing some Kanye rants, you know, that maybe if he just rode some of the emotional waves a little bit longer, could have texted something or tweeted something different, like 15 minutes later. But he
had a friend, if he had a friend that goes and he could go, hey, should I tweet this? Can you check this tweet? And be like, you know what, dude? Maybe wait. Let's see how this plays out before you say that. But I know what you're saying, but let's just...
Bro, I get it. I'm cool with it. I'm just saying other people are uptight.
You can't read tone on text, Don.
I know what you mean. Like, I know what you're saying, and it's cool. But other people, when you're sitting, like when they start looting, we start shooting. Like,
I know you're totally being sarcastic right now, but like, people won't read that. They're gonna think you actually. And he's like, "Nah, fuck it, I'm sending it. This is funny. I'm gonna get a ton of likes on this."
So Kate, you're all over the Epstein thing.
Yeah, because it just pops up a lot when I'm scrolling through TikTok, and it's hard to know because there's so many different names on different lists, and it's hard to know what the official ones really are. And once again, like, they could have visited the island, but really had no knowledge of the sex trafficking. So it's hard to know.
I saw a lot of sexy young people through the window of the house.
No, I think sometimes.
Who asked questions about that? Not me.
Isn't the list
horrible?
Isn't the list about whether they've ever flown on Epstein's private jet, or is it whether they've been to the island?
They're different lists, and that's what they're, you know, like, so that's the confusion. There's a list of who flew on the Lolita Express, which
is there a list
the plane.
Of who fucked Epstein? Like, how specific do they get?
I bet you there are, but a lot of the stuff's being covered. There's a lot of video footage, pictures, but there's
if you fly on the Lolita Express, shame on you, because it's right in the name. It's
right in the name.
When that's painted on the side of the plane, you really should take a moment to go, is this a good idea?
Yeah. I would have been like, bro,
there's a list.
I know what you're saying, Lolita, but like, other people are uptight.
Maybe before you paint that on, I know we have it stickered and ready to paint. Maybe we should rename this.
I mean,
yeah, no, the calligraphy is dope and all, and I'll give you that. But like, let's not call it something else.
I think we already know the ones that were more in the extreme stuff. I won't say the names of the ones I think are definite. Because they were on, like, they visited the island like 50 times.
I kind of think this really is kind of a smear, because they can just say like it's the Epstein list. If he's like a billionaire, he definitely chilled with a lot of people.
All I'm saying is, listen, add people that have operated the world of comedy. We probably all have pictures with like monsters and like people that have done unspeakably terrible things. Does that mean that we're friends with them? No, it means like one time they got us a drink and we were like, ah, oh, sweet, we're boys. But like, not really. I wasn't
right. Like, if there was like a horrible mob guy at the venue, And you were like, yo, that's that horrible mob guy. I totally get it. And you know what I'm saying? Like, but that doesn't mean like I'm a horrible mob guy or like I
just
did
wanted a good picture.
The same stuff that he did.
You know justify what I mean? His.
Yeah. Hey, pictures of Siege are coming out. And Siege, let's get ahead of it now.
Now, do you Irish goodbye when you're at Epstein Island?
That's so rude.
You can't Irish goodbye.
There's like tunnels and shit. Like, yeah. You got to know your exits, dog. You know what I mean? There's like several choppers.
That place,
as long as
horrific things happened at that place. So you guys can make jokes, but for real, like it was horrific.
Baby,
the thing.
Maybe next time let's do a comedy podcast.
Oh my.
It was
just some horrible things that we had to talk about on this podcast. Horrible things. You can do jokes if you want.
Because now that we got billboards, it'll never happen again. We got the no sex trafficking billboards. And I think we've all learned. We're not going back to the.
Yo, how about the sex trafficking happens in Pennsylvania billboards on the highway? Did you see it?
Yeah. And I don't think there's been one sex trafficking instance since. People were like, fuck that. And
the thing that those are is people are wondering, is this to help us stop it? Or is this an advertisement that it's
I
like,
know it looks like an advertisement
that
the way
trafficking happens here.
It happens here. Stop on by. We've got hotels too. On the way to your vacation, why don't you stop here? Trust us, it's not just you don't just pass through.
Okay, we're switching topics.
We got some good shit.
Oh my god. But the boards do look a little too peppy for the sex traffic. It needs to look a little scary, like forewarning. Like this is a bad thing.
You need to know that you're against it.
Yeah, the bright colors and like the happy vibes was like a wrong.
It's the same thing I feel like it always bothers me when you're doing a comedy benefit, and the MC's like, we're all here for child cancer. And it's like, I'm not here for that. I'm here to fight it. I'm here because I want it to stop. Like,
well, people are hedging.
We need a friend that looked at the billboard and goes, you know, this could be taken two ways. Maybe we word it different so we know we're anti.
Yeah. Or like maybe they just want to wait to see where the public sentiment is first.
Right.
And then they clarify, like, oh, that's of course what they're saying.
Yeah, like you only go in halfway. You're like, Pennsylvania has sex trafficking?
And then it's like terrible. And then the person made the billboard.
They're like, yeah, it fucking is.
Okay. We're gonna go to the next topic, everybody. Okay. A Florida bride and her caterer were arrested for lacing the wedding food with marijuana, and the people didn't know. So people were like eating all this, you know, appetizers with weed in it and the main course. And like that can fuck you up. So people started panicking. There were a lot of 911 calls and yeah, they got arrested and I would be pissed. That would fuck my world up.
Before we even dive into this though, when you said Florida person and caterer were, this is actually very tame for what I thought was going to be.
Really?
Like, I'm kind of like, oh, it's just pot? Like, good job, Florida. Good job.
You know, it's very much like the bride's job when it comes to the wedding. It's just fucking spend the money and just it's all about having a good time. As the husband, I'm like, that's a lot of weed that you just gave away.
I don't know if he knew.
Ask for it.
I don't know if he knew. I think I don't know what her intention was, like to make it more fun or to like fuck everyone's world up. I don't know, but like
he was like, hey Steve, can you help me pick out the cakes? He's like, do whatever you want. Like, okay, all right.
He was like, I'll do whatever the fuck I want.
Wow, that's it. Would that be a fun wedding to go to?
No, people on edibles are fucking
That's true.
Yeah. People with edibles are not fun to hang out with.
That's a weak dance floor.
Yo, listen, I know a lot of like potheads. If they eat an edible, they're flipping out. and they forget how to drive, forget how to chew gum and walk. You know what I mean? Like, like shit goes wrong. And that's potheads. So, like, if you give edibles to people who don't even smoke, I don't know what's going to happen, man.
Well, the problem is somebody showed up late and was like, what the fuck? There's 200 people at this wedding and we're all watching The Big Lebowski? Doesn't the DJ want to play some music or something?
Do people in edibles dance?
Yeah, like real, like.
I don't do a thing.
Like that.
I don't do anything. I do this. And then I actually get really bad hangovers from it.
Really?
Body hangovers where, like, I won't want to get out of bed for about 2 days. Mm. Like, I have to fight myself to get up.
Yeah, so that's why it's not chill. It was not a chill choice for her to do that.
They could have.
I know.
They should have put it in, like, the drinks, the THC seltzers. Those things are great.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's like, it's like drinking, but without having the problem of alcohol. It's like, you drink it and you feel like you smoked. It's not like where edibles are like, wow, did somebody pour sand in my ass? Because I can't move.
Was it High Noon going to start making these or something? Like, when
do we get them?
Oh, that'd be sick.
John, you know where you can get them? Next time we hang out in person.
Nice. That's awesome. Mark's always got all the cool shit.
They make them so they may also make them so weak that you can drink a couple. Like, so if you're at a party, people are drinking, you know, alcohol, you can have these and still feel like you're part of the party, still have a nice uppy high, but you don't have to.
I didn't think we were going to learn anything today.
I just feel like you can have panic attacks really easily when you have too much weed in your system. And that's what happened. Like, the guy who called, he couldn't breathe and it was giving him actual physical symptoms. And we know, we have had certain friends that have had serious reactions to weed. And I think, weed can be dangerous. Yeah, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but when you secretly dose it, like, to people who don't know, I feel like you could accidentally kill someone if they got in the car. You know what I mean? Like, you can't do shit like that.
What's happening.
Yeah, it's
fucked
up. If
you don't know that it's coming, that's a weird feeling.
Tate once forgot how to drive while she was driving.
Yes.
In Manhattan.
Don't air my stuff.
I'm sorry. I thought we were airing everyone's stuff.
No.
I'm sorry, baby. You're the sweetest.
So you
I've had many scary weed experiences, and you just have to be careful. Like, I'm definitely not like the DARE program, like, don't do anything, you know, like, but when you explore shit, especially in that vein, I think you got to be careful with dosing. And I don't know, I'll probably cut this out. I don't want
to
be
like some way to describe what could happen to you if you tell someone that, you know, I've driven for 25 years and then I was driving and was on the road and forgot how to drive. Like, forgot how my feet worked the pedals.
I know multiple people,
you know, like,
who've said that. And I just think it shows you, I think it's great and it could be used as medicine 100%, but it can also be really scary. Mm-hmm. So if someone secretly gives you weed at a wedding, I'd be fucking pissed. And I love eating food at a wedding, so I would have, I'd be screwed.
Oh my God.
Especially during cocktail hours.
Yeah.
Dude, if they put weed in crab cakes, I'm fucked. Dude,
do you have a camera that's following you around if you move around?
Yeah, I have a gimbal.
Dude, you're so much better than us. Oh my God.
I did notice it, think to ask. I never heard of a gimbal.
Because he's being all animated and the camera follows him around while he's being animated, people.
CG, once we get our lives together, we can get a gimbal.
No, definitely. I definitely see myself getting my life together someday. I definitely see that happening.
We could one day own a gimbal.
You can. You too can have a gimbal.
Next.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Topic. Bumper stickers or signs that'll get you slapped in the mouth. This was a CG.
I saw one the other day that said, have you ever heard of a speed limit? Like, I wanted to fight whoever was in the car. Like, I knew it was this little loudmouth nerd. It was a loudmouth nerd in the car. You ever need like a little computer nerd, but they have to be heard? And they have very extreme opinions and they want to know if you ever heard of a fucking speed limit. I wanted to drag him out of the car. I didn't see who this was.
I want that bumper sticker actually. I just wanted
to give him one hard slap to the mouth area. You know what I mean? Like to the around the mouth and lips.
Never see really those
hard slap. Just one. And then be like, okay, man. Okay. You like, they get it.
Carry on.
Like, they completely get it. And I don't even need to explain. Anyway,
yeah. You ever see those videos on like TikTok where they have the slap war where like the guy slaps him and then the next guy gets his, like, you should be able to grab him and go, all right, come on, meet me at the arena.
That's what I mean. But I don't want to get slapped back. I just wanted to give it to deliver that one deadly slap. You know what I mean? Yo, that shit, if you watch those are crazy. Those are big men slapping them. Bullshit out of each other.
I saw one
slaps, dog.
I saw one of the dude like dislocated his jaw, and I'm like, I'm never watching one of these again. Because it's like, of course they are. This dude weighs 450 pounds. You just put everything into
that. And they do it with the palm, dude. They make their palm like hard as granite. You know, the open palm, John. And then so it's like, it's really like getting punched the way they do. I'm talking about a good old bitch slap. Good old fashioned bitch slap
open
to the mouth.
Or close hand.
I was thinking fully open hand. So they have like a full full handprint. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like a full pink handprint across their face. And then just people know for the next few hours.
Yeah, and their ear is ringing for a good 20 minutes.
And their ear has a finger mark on it, a red finger
but
mark.
But I like would like
whole,
to say...
My hand's pretty big, so I want the hand to be like whole face and ear.
I would like to say I would appreciate people driving more kindly and maybe...
Oh, Jesus, it was you.
Not... I wouldn't have that bumper sticker because I would know that it would just mean more meanness towards me. You know what I mean? But I do feel like there are some maniacs on the road. I don't know if bumper stickers are the way to heal that. But
have you guys ever seen a bumper sticker that'll get you slapped in the mouth?
Oh, hell yeah. Cav and I, we text each other whenever we're behind a ridiculous bumper sticker or like a horrible personalized license plate. So I can't come up with any off the top of my head. But like, yeah, half the time that you get out behind the wheel, if you're looking around, you'll see something like, what the fuck are you trying to say? And honestly, half the time it's confusing. Like that speed limit one, I initially, when you said it, I thought of it as a complaint against the government. Like, have you ever heard of a speed limit? What? Who the hell are they to tell us how fast we can drive? Like, I didn't know what it, and then you said it the other way. I'm like, oh, they're saying to the other drivers, like, you need the rules, you know? Like, I don't know.
I think it's you're too, you know, you're driving too fast. You're close enough to read this bumper sticker. Have you ever heard of a speed limit? So, and then I saw, you know, it was very close to that time. I saw a sign on somebody's lawn that said, this is a neighborhood, not a racetrack. And like, I wanted to like pull the man of the house out and in front of the whole family. Slap him like and make him spit fly.
That's out not
slap him in the
in
mouth
front of the family.
In front of his whole family, and then him like just nod afterwards, just nod. You know what I mean? Just like we don't really have to talk.
Just ran
it.
The
you
sign know. Over.
What?
You should have just ran the sign over with your car. Just
that's true. That's true. I mean, it was just like I don't know. They're saying it in more insulting ways these days. You know, they're not just like, drive like your kids live here. That's an acceptable sign. I'm not going to slap you in the mouth for because it's like a reasonable request. But if you start suggesting that I think this neighborhood's a fucking racetrack, then that's when you made an enemy.
Okay. Are you insulting me? Then you don't I know.
I
think anybody who puts political stuff on their car, in either way, I don't care which side you're on. If you put your political beliefs on your car, you're a fucking idiot because you're not going to change anyone's mind. No one's going to drive by and go, yeah, you know what? I was happy with how things are, but fuck Biden.
Well,
completely changed my, you know, like pro or anti-Trump stickers. It's like, you're not going to change someone's mind in traffic. They're already pissed off. And if they believe what you believe, what are they going to do? Honk or go?
They probably do.
If I see somebody that has like something against Joe Biden, I'm thinking like, this dude wants you to say something because he wants to whoop your ass. And if they say something against Trump, I'm like, this nerd doesn't know that somebody's going to kick his ass. Like, dude, I'm putting that disclaimer out.
Accurate. When
things get too political this year, I'm not going to say a fucking word because I'm scared. I think that people are going to lose their minds.
Let's see what happens.
All right, hold on. Are these appropriate? My child is a baccalaureate something something or other. Have you seen that one? My child is a baccalaureate something or other organization. No?
What?
Is that like an is that like...
I thought that
I fucking
was
guess so, man. I don't know what it is, but they'll have that sticker
like,
on there.
Like a sticker that says my kid is an achiever basically at this school.
Honor student.
But this one was super gay. I mean, it wasn't just the, like he's an honored student in this middle school, the local middle school. It's like some organization you never heard of. So it's like kind of trying to blow your minds. Like, yo, I've never heard of that fucking organization. Like, your kid is a fucking genius. And so like that pisses me off.
All right, that pisses me off. But if it was a bumper sticker that said, my kid is super gay, I'd be like, yo, that's that's awesome. I love how supportive you are. Your kid's probably cool as hell.
Yeah.
My
no bullies fucking with your kid because he obviously will tear him apart verbally. Because he got funny parents.
Yeah, your kid is very sassy. I wouldn't say
if there's a my kid is gay as fuck bumper sticker, that'd be fantastic. Like, it's a rainbow sticker. It's like, I am so into this. Like, I'll fucking fuck you up in this. Like, it's not friendly anymore. Like, my kid's gay as fuck. Like, you'll fuck your kid up. You know, like, I like that. If it gets more militant, it's too friendly still. It's just like, support us. You know what I mean? I want it to get more militant, more angry. You know what I mean?
Okay, that's an opinion.
That's one way to look at it, sure.
Okay, next topic. So CG thinks Beatrix Lestrange was really hot in the Harry Potter series. Helena Bonham Carter in that movie. And I was kind of taken aback at first, and then I guess she really had a lot of cleavage in there, and she was kind of looking really good at that time. And you know what? So was a teen adult, like young 20 Voldemort. Voldemort got very ugly, snaky looking later on, but back
you
in
love,
the day.
You love that 17-year-old Voldemort.
Okay, you I mean, say it like that.
She likes young Tom.
No, I did not.
He was a young student at Hogwarts.
He was
good
looking then, not like in a creepy way. Okay. I'm just saying before he became Voldemort,
before he fought and
almost died with Harry Potter, he was a good looking lord until he became very, very busted.
And now, Koppel, you have not seen any Harry Potters yet.
No, but Helena Bonham Carter, particularly in the movie Novocaine, could get it. She was very sexy in that movie.
Novocaine? Why do you know movies no one else knows with like stars in it? Why can you come up?
It was Steve Martin. It was
84?
What's that?
Was it 84? When was this?
I'm going to say maybe like 2001 2-ish.
Okay.
With like Steve Martin?
Yeah, it was like a kind of a noir type of flick. It wasn't like it was kind of dark comedy, but it was he's a dentist and he gets scammed and then there's murders involved. It's cool flick.
Was this before or after Fight Club?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it was after Fight Club. Fight Club was 99. I think it was after.
Because that's when I found out about her. She's great. She's one of the best actresses.
I even find her hot in Planet of the Apes when she's one of the apes.
Are you being serious? Is she really?
No, it makes me disgusted. Oh, because, my God. Like, she kind of has a crush on Marky Mark, and she keeps, like, kind of giving him the eyes, and she's a full monkey. It is fucking disgusting. I love that movie, but that part fucking turns my stomach every time. She's a full-on monkey. And they did really good work to make
it human. I remember seeing the movie. I'm like, it's pretty, I mean, like, I'm not into monkeys, but if I was.
If I were to date a monkey, this would be the monkey.
This would be, you know, you do what you dig, but if I did, I'm.
Yeah. Like, if you said that your girlfriend was a monkey, I'd be grossed out. And you show me the picture, I'd be like, eh.
I get it.
I'm like, dude, that's fucking sick. And then you show me the picture, and I'm like, it's all right.
Yeah, you know, not my cup of tea, but I get it. I can see.
Okay, I'm moving. I'm moving on because we have some more topics. This one, CG's. What would you do if you got shipped a head in a box?
I mean, it's a good question, dude. It happens in a lot of movies. Mail comes, FedEx, whatever, knock, knock. Got a box outside, open the box, head in the box.
I think I die from a panic attack.
Well, is it like Christmas or your birthday or something?
Oh, my God. You have to, I forget how I even came up with this. What was the
I don't know, but I wrote, you were like, baby, write that down. And I was like, okay.
Do you remember the contacts?
No.
Were we watching a movie where someone got a head in a box?
Yes, and then we were talking.
What movie?
I forget.
Was it Stone Cold with Brian Bosworth?
I don't even know how it came up, but he said, write it down. And, like, I don't even want to think about that. I saw it in the movie 7 years ago, and it fucked me up. That whole movie fucked me up actually. I think we were in like middle school or maybe 9th or 10th grade when that came out, and I remember watching it several times with like our friends would put it on, and it was just like so fucked up. Anyway, I never would want that sent to me. I would be very upset.
Would it be just a head by itself? Because I'm thinking of the movie Stone Cold where the biker gang put a helmet on the guy and then cut it off. So the guy thinks he gets a helmet and he looks up, he's a cop, and he looks up at the head of the biker gang. He's like, what the hell am I going to do with this? And then he hits the thing and the visor pops up and then his partner's head's in it.
It's badass.
Like, as long as you can keep the helmet, maybe it's not that bad.
I don't think that's a chill thing.
Because helmets are already heavy. So it would, like, you could get the surprise. It's like, I got you this custom helmet. It's very protective. And it's like, oh, it's heavy because there's a head in it. That was slick.
I see what you did there. I appreciate it.
All right.
You guys are way more Sopranos about this than I am. I feel like my life's over. I'd have to move. I'd have to change my identity.
It depends on whose head it is. Like, because I feel like, you know, you got to be cool about it, unless it's like your wife.
I don't think there's any more like, way to be cool about it.
Listen, you don't want to freak out. I like that Kate is insisting. I want to seriously know how traumatized you are if you got a head sent to you. Like, because you can make jokes, but the reality is you'd be upset. Now tell me how upset you would be.
In reality, I'd probably puke as soon as I saw it.
Yes, Kate, I would cry. Is that what you need to hear?
I regret putting this one down. I should have just said, okay, baby.
This is the best.
John cries at coffee commercials. So.
That's true. I cry a lot. I'm emotional.
It is the best part of waking up.
You know, he's right. Yeah.
Okay. Look, I got to apologize for this one because I don't remember any context. I am sure, though, goddamn sure, that when I said to write that down, I had an awesome idea of what we're going to talk about when I said it. So I apologize for that one, you guys. I should have told her to write more.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah,
because it really matters what movie we're watching.
I'm sure. Why? I'm sure. I just wrote what you said to write. Okay, next topic.
What if it was like somebody that you hated and it was their head in a box? Wouldn't you be nervous that like you're a suspect now?
If maybe, oh my God. Like them?
But, and maybe that's a cool movie could be made from that idea. You guys,
I want none of these horror movie situations to happen to me. You know, anything sent to me in a box, that's not a cute gift. No, thank you.
Well, yeah, like what if it's one of your enemy's heads and it's like an actual gift from a friend?
That's not a gift. That's
no, like not a friend, how you don't want like a serial killer friend, but you like have one and you couldn't do anything about it. And then suddenly like it's your enemy's head in a box. I'm like. Like I'd smirk a little bit, really? And walk upstairs. You know what I mean?
So it's like a darker version of Christmas Vacation, where like Cousin Eddie, instead of like wrapping your boss up in a gift, he like literally sends you your boss's head, and you're like, "Gee, thanks, Cousin Eddie," because you don't want to upset him.
And yeah, then well, I not because you don't want to upset him, but also like your life just got a lot cooler.
What?
Right? What? Like if he starts taking out the people in your life who are a problem.
Yeah.
And then like it's not you taking him out, it's not your fault. You shouldn't feel guilty. And then he sends you the heads in a box and you're like,
I would maybe not like, be hey, friends I with that person anymore because
you're gonna not be friends with that person anymore?
I mean very nicely. Well because you don't want to be involved in all that.
Yeah, then I'm totally getting your head in a box. You still have to be nice to the person who's sending the heads in a box, baby.
Okay.
You can't just like cut off
the head being shipped in a box. It's like the last thing I want.
So treat them with 2024. Treat them with
some. You're speaking with way too much confidence right now about someone. Like if somebody puts your enemy's head in a box, you'd say, "I appreciate where you were coming from. We can't be friends anymore." I think you need to really think it through very carefully before you break things off with that person.
You would have to plan. I may return this.
Yeah, you're right.
You may have to plan how you are going to kill that person.
Listen, I like it. I like it. I just don't know where I'd put it in my house right now.
No, you'd have to call the cops immediately.
Yeah.
You'd have to call the cops immediately and be like outraged. But at the same time, like after the cops leave, you're like, and like you sleep a little easier.
Oh, I wouldn't sleep easier.
You know what I mean? Like you're like, oh man, that was crazy, huh, baby?
I'd be like, can we move and get new names? And like, I don't want anything to do with those mafia like situations. I don't know if they actually happen. I guess they probably do. And I just don't, I'm not for that.
Got you.
I'm too, you know.
You should see the movie Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag. It's the comedy light side of what we're talking about.
Yeah. I like a dark comedy.
Okay. Last topic. And this happened a bit ago, so I've had this written down for a while. Okay. There was a prisoner in Pennsylvania who escaped by crab walking up the walls of the prison. And I saw the video and it was like Spider-Man. I couldn't believe it. And they got him. Everyone was scared. But I was more, I mean, I'm not saying, I was just like, whoa, that looks to me like superpowers.
You do a lot of dips in prison.
Yo, I'll be honest, that guy was like 5'2", and he was like the most terrifying like fugitive to ever be on the loose in Pennsylvania. And as much as I want those guys kept, you know, locked up as they should be, on behalf of short guys everywhere, it was kind of a cool moment. It's like, okay, who's scared now, motherfucker? Yeah.
Couples running around his living room, one of us, one of us.
Yeah, I was like, yo, this dude seems like everybody's pretty intimidated. I don't know. A lot of people were talking shit before.
Well, the thing is that he's a guy who just pulls it off. Like, he'll pull it off. Like, he'll attack you. Like, you go, oh, he's only 5'2". Like, I'd take him. You probably wouldn't because he'd attack you before you knew you were in the fight.
Yeah, he's like Joe Pesci in Casino. Like, he's the muscle in the situation. Doesn't matter how tall he is.
Yeah, I'd be more afraid of like a guy like that than a bodybuilder looking dude.
Really?
Yeah, that guy's scrappy. Like a tiny scrappy dude, those dudes can fight. They'll beat the shit out of someone because they have something to prove. Yeah. If like some dude can't even wipe his ass because his arms are so big, like, I'm not as afraid of that. Like that's like, yeah, you got all those muscles and shit, but you got a lot to lose.
Like, I don't know. I feel like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator was very scary looking. And I would not. Well, I feel like you don't want to fight that.
I'll be honest. I don't want to fight either. The person comes up and goes, you have to fight one of us. I go, I don't want to fight either. Like, I'm probably just going to sit here and eat something.
Yeah. The more I think about it, I don't want to fight anybody. I really don't. I'm not a confrontational person. I don't.
But what if someone is like really like getting at you and being an asshole? Like, will you stand up for yourself eventually? Like,
oh yeah, yeah. No, I definitely have like fond memories of times in my life where you do stand up for yourself because you kind of have to. Yeah. And like as an adult, I've never been in a fight, but. As a kid, I had a couple of times undefeated. I'm undefeated. I'm like 3-0 or something. And every time it felt damn good to whoop that kid's ass because the kid needed his ass whooped. I wasn't like the one picking the fight. I remember there was one time in which I came home because I had the kind of mom that I was telling her, like, this guy every day on the bus is like, next time he does that, hit him. So I did. And then like the other nice kid his mom the second that he got home because the set I told her the story and she's like wow and then the phone rings and it was that kid's mom and the kid, and my
and
mom,
your mom was like I would never say that.
My mom
where did you get this idea
the best she goes oh he hit him huh well I mean I guess he should probably stop provoking my son unless he feels like getting hit again. I'm sure that John's in a hitting mood now. And like, yes.
That's great. That's a supportive mom.
Good mom.
Yeah. No, so did you just like punch his lights out, cops, or just one shot and this kid was a corpse?
No, dude, I definitely didn't clock him in the face. I probably like gave him a dead arm or something. Like, it wasn't a fight. It was like
I was definitely picturing a face punch. A hit him, I thought, was a face punch.
Yeah, I think that if I punched him in the face, it probably
like, would have been a bigger deal.
Would have been a bigger deal than like me waiting and talking.
How old were you at this point?
I was in fourth grade.
Oh,
all right.
A
now
dead arm. A dead arm in fourth grade. A dead arm in fourth grade is a serious thing. That would be
listen,
scary.
It's badass. If you backed him up, if you backed him off because of that move, yeah. It's badass.
Yeah.
But yeah. I remember in fifth grade, I started clocking kids in the face because it was in all the movies.
Are you serious?
Like you get mad, you clock someone in the face. Like it's in every movie. And then like I didn't notice till like years later that like no one else was punching anyone else in the face, like in real life. And I did notice every time I did that, they immediately stopped what they were doing and in horror started crying. You know what I mean? Like it was not a cool move, but like I thought that's everybody horrible. Was punching everybody. We were watching Roadhouse, we're watching, you know what I mean? The movies that were on. I just thought everyone was punching.
Just doing wheel kicks in third grade.
It was, I remember, you know, when I started doing it in like fifth grade, like on the playground, we just, you know, there was a little scuffle, just pop.
And like a private Christian school.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they'd cry and they wouldn't tell usually. I don't think they told ever.
How did you get people to not tell?
They'd just be like, you know, this dude fucking is crazy as fuck. Like, what the fuck is at this school? So anyway, I didn't realize till like years later, like, you know, you can't do that. You couldn't, no one else was doing it. You couldn't.
I remember at Sandy Run Middle School, there was some middle school guy fights that happened. I feel like
that was later, but I did it too early.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I was doing it too early.
But that's proof that violent movies can impact you.
Yeah, I totally was just like, yeah, of course, you punch somebody in the face when you get mad at them. That's
how you know that violence can solve your problems.
I think it works out good if you can, like if someone's bullying you in a situation at work or wherever, like I think if you can fight verbally it's better than punching.
Definitely. Now so yeah, the thing was too, I went to like a very peaceful school. were the most peaceful people you would ever see, the most peaceful children. So that was also a reason it was really out of pocket. Like, I wasn't in the inner city. You know what I mean? It wasn't like anything rough going on. Like, I was pissed off that this kid's mom gave him a fruit roll up and mom gave me, you know,
you would hit a
banana.
Kid because someone had a fruit roll up.
Punched him in the face because you were jealous of his dessert.
I was making up a fake.
In his defense, it was strawberry, okay? It was strawberry. I get it.
It was pudding. It was a pudding fruit roll up. And my mom gave me a fucking banana.
You never have violence.
So you, that's not okay.
A pudding fruit roll up? The kids who had those, their moms did not care about them. But, you know,
I'm sure your mother wasn't arrested for giving you that for dessert. That's a crime. A pudding fruit roll-up?
I was like, what is that, fucking chocolate fruit roll-up? Like, it's supposed to be made of fruit, and those aren't even good for you. This shit's made out of fucking chocolate pudding?
That's fucked and up.
So, you're like, really justifying something.
It's a fucking broken nose
that's
in
not
my
justifiable.
Book.
That's insane.
It's a fucking punch that's in the kisser.
You were a bully.
No, that dude, blood's on her hands.
No, that was a fake reason of why I would clock someone.
We'll give
in the
a
face.
Real reason. Do you remember?
A real reason would be like somebody, you know, pushed by me too hard in soccer and like kicked my leg. I'm like, shit. Kick my leg.
That's definitely, you know what I mean? Better. That's more understandable than someone just innocently taking out a lunch item. And that was, you know what I mean? Because that, if someone's pushing you in any way, already getting in your space.
Playing football and they like, I feel like they elbowed me. Then they're getting clocked. But like, I didn't understand yet that wasn't okay because it was in every movie.
Right.
I just thought you guys should know about that period of my life. Which between fifth and seventh grade.
You know, no judgment. And it's all in the way you remember, because I found out recently that I was a bully back in the day. We've talked about it. And like, yes. I didn't think I was.
You thought you were the nicest kid in the world.
Yeah. But, you know, turns out.
Bully.
Everyone shared with him. Everyone shared with him. Mostly because he beat them up and took their shit. But they shared with you. It was
no, there's like a select few people who've come out of the woodwork and said that you were their bully.
It was one person.
Let's say one. Let's say that for the podcast sake.
I am wondering
if there aren't more out there that haven't stepped forward yet.
What about the silent ones? The ones who are afraid to come out.
The silent ones, the one that came forward, I feel like I wish some other ones would like.
Let's start a website, gotbulliedbycoppel.com, and see who...
See who steps forward.
Oh, God. Coppel 2.
Are they coming forward anonymously?
You wouldn't be allowed to. Letters, I'd say, don't come forward if it's... Because then it could be one person over and over pretending other people.
Sure. But listen, I think, is there a way for people, listeners, to contact you? And then you I don't need to find out because I understand people still find me to be very intimidating, but they can tell you if I bullied them in high school.
Okay. If you were a victim of John Coppel's bullying, you may email us. I'll give my email address, but you may email us at kwolf2fs27@gmail.com, and I'll have we'll have a talking to him. Coppel. Yeah.
That's emotional or physical abuse.
Emotional or physical abuse. If Coppel has hurt you, you can let us know. We will read the email on the podcast, and Coppel will make amends.
We're trying to GoFundMe for these people.
And if you were at Epstein Island,
but then we're going to keep the money.
By John Coppel, send photos.
Yeah, if you've been abused by me, send pics, please.
Please,
okay. You're not going to get away with it, Coppel.
It's time everyone's heard.
Yes. I want justice for all of my victims.
Justice for Coppel.
Just
couples victims.
Dude, my reign of terror It ends now.
That's Let great. Us know. Let us know. Please give a name, though. If it's anonymous, I'll still read it, but I'm going to be suspicious. If you can come forward.
Like, you know, government agencies who care about you hiding your identity.
We just want to know if it's real.
We just want
to know.
And well, that was the whole reason I could afford a place in Ambler was when we were looking there, like, you know, this is a recovering area from the reign of Koppel. And some people are a little afraid. We want to be very transparent. Some people are afraid to come here because of what happened throughout the, you know, mid and early 90s. There was a guy, you've probably seen it all over the news, John Koppel, terrorized the entire Ambler, Pennsylvania, and surrounding areas.
Sure.
And surrounding areas. It was like an urban legend, you know, like the guy with the hook. People don't say John Koppel three times in a mirror.
Yeah.
Well, John Koppel did bully CG and another friend with Candyman. Because they were watching that scary movie, and Koppel had the nerve to almost say it three times, and his guy friends were saying, no, no, no. So you were a bully then. Because you almost brought Candyman
at Koppel's parties,
to your basement.
At Koppel's sleepover parties in his basement, if you went into the bathroom and said Candyman three times in front of the mirror, Koppel's dick appears next to your head. That was his trick. It was a trick
that he did.
No,
that's actually true. If listening tries it in their own house, I don't advise it. I'm just telling you. You should think hard. All right.
I don't know how
especially
he did
now
it.
That his balls are bigger than his shaft.
Unless you want big Jewish balls dangling next to your ear, I recommend you don't try it. Sorry.
No, you did bully us with Candyman because I was scared to death. I was scared to death, and you decided to say it anyway. You decided to bring Candyman into the party, and I wasn't comfortable with that. I wanted to go to sleep, and so you thought it was all a big joke.
I recommend that anybody that writes into Kate tell the truth, and but if you don't tell the truth, make it a creative lie at least. Like. All right. Don't tell me I bullied you and then make it boring. I'll fuck you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought I just pulled an Irish exit on accident.
I know.
I was like, wow, what a callback.
Okay. Actually, before we end, I'll do this one real quick. How do you guys feel about all girls and or all boys private school experiences? That was also your just.
Well,
sure, you didn't write these down right, baby.
I feel like I wrote, okay. Well, then you write it down or text me.
So one of our best friends went to an all-boys Catholic school, a pretty prestigious one. And we met a lot of those guys. We hung out with a lot of those guys. They were animals, man. I think there's something, and I went to Mixers where they had all girls Catholic schools, and they were animals too. Like, it was jarring to go up as like a ninth grader at a Mixer and some chick comes up to you dancing, grinding on you with gin on her breath. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, I'm 14. I'm not ready for this.
That's exactly how it was, dude. They were ready, dude. They were on it. They were on a mission because they might not see dudes for another 4 months or whatever. Like, that shit was great, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's their chance.
But they were they were aggressive. Do you come out of their face looking like a glazed donut?
Oh my god!
No, you did, dude. There, it was bad. It was bad.
It was good.
Well, I think it's funny because the parents are trying to do the opposite thing, but they're like creating a beast because they're not able to interact with the opposite sex. So it builds up that like when they are, it's like they want to go so hard, you know?
Yeah, dude. In like eighth grade, I was down the shore and we met some girls, some Catholic school girls. And the one we walked them home and it was like, dude, it couldn't have been more than like 9:30 at night. And I'm kissing this girl on the corner And there's, you know, cars driving by, and she starts, she grabs my dick and starts giving me a hand job on the corner of like the street with like busy cars passing by. And I was like, so that's how I found out about it. That was the first time I found out about it. That phenomenon.
There's no way. Like, how could anyone ever climax in that kind of very
excruciating. Balls, nutsack, hair, all of it was wrapped up in there, just getting yanked at, yanked. The lights were on me. You know, like it was bright out there. It was
I know young Siege.
Except in the back of my head, I can't wait to go tell my friends I got a hand job. You know, I'm like, let me endure this for a minute, because it's really going to pay off when I go home and tell my friends I just got a hand job on the corner.
Wow.
Long story short,
thank you for sharing.
That was a good story.
Yeah. So that's what we feel about all girls or all boys.
You send your daughter to an all-girls school, she'll be given hand jobs on the corner. But it's your life. You do what you think is the best.
I'd like to say that's not true for all, for every.
What was weird was like it was an unsolicited.
What'd you say, Topple?
I said it's true for 90% of them.
Okay, fine. There's a good solid 10% that didn't give hand jobs on the corner.
No, what was weird though, it was an unsolicited hand job on the corner. That was a volunteer hand job on the corner. That was a aggressively took
Can we
my
take
penis
a moment to salute the volunteers?
Yeah. Thank you.
usually when you're that age and you're a dude, you're asking for everything. You know, you're trying everything, you're asking for everything, trying to get to the next base or whatever it is.
Can you help me? You were allowed to ask for handies? I didn't know. This is why I never was getting handies back in the day. You would be like...
You never asked for a handy, did you?
You just get them.
I mean, I'm sure I asked for some handies. You didn't. Like, why don't you put your hand down?
Why don't you see
what's downstairs?
Ew.
Why don't
well,
you
hello
hate
there,
your Uncle Purr voice. It's disgusting. Okay, we're going to end the podcast.
I got a little surprise for you. if you want to. Sorry, I'm done.
Thank you.
I'm done.
Mark, where could people find you, your album, any projects you're working on, shows? Where can people find you?
There's a couple things real fast. If anybody has a Dry Bar, I have a special on there. So please check it out. Go to drybarcomedy.com/MarkRigadonna. Check that out. It's actually, I'm really proud of it. Usually I'm not proud of my stuff. I'm too embarrassed to watch it. You know, like I hate watching myself. This was the first time I was like, yes, that is exactly what I wanted.
Nice.
So please check that. Also, on Instagram, at Mark Riccadonna, or on YouTube, I'll be putting stuff up. I just have it all loaded up. You'll be getting 2 to 3 posts of a day. So for the next few months, that's already locked and loaded. So join me on there. Because I guess I'm supposed to have a lot of Instagram friends so I can work.
Nice.
John Koppel, where would you like to be found?
Mostly just navigating Mark's YouTube page. That's where I'm going to be. That you don't need to look for me. I'm just here to support you guys.
Yeah. So.
But you can always check out Peak's podcast because the episodes are still up. So John has a great podcast. So check it out. And then I'm going to start putting out more TikToks. I just put out a new TikTok finally, because I have some time again, because I'm not full-time teaching anymore. And I will be at Atlantic City Comedy Club co-headlining with Tata Charisse on January 19th. So go to AtlanticCityComedyClub.com for tickets. And thank you so much for listening. Siege, do you want to be found anywhere?
No. I just go to Kate's shows.
Yes. He goes to my show.
The audience of Kate's shows. Woo!
Okay. Thanks. And a lot of times my son Shane comes too, and he's been getting on stage. So you never know. I don't think he's going to be at the one in Atlantic City. But anyway, all right. Thank you guys all for listening. Thank you both for coming on, and bye.
Peace.